Nice to see you here this morning. Did you ask or your father asked you? You wanted to come? Yeah? Fantastic. You're becoming attracted to Krishna by hearing about Krishna, right? That's good. Me too. Okay, so we're continuing. And actually concluding. This particular pastime of Nanda Maharaj being saved from the giant serpent and by the touch of Krishna's foot upon the serpent, and then the serpent turns into a Vidyadhara, and Vidyadhara, upon Krishna's request, please explain how you got in this circumstance. And then his explanation. And then the Vidyadhara's request to take that Krishna bhakti that he has received back to his residence in Vidyadhara Loka and pass on the bhakti that he received from Krishna to his friends and everybody. So the last verse of this section is text 10:34:19. Translation reads, the inhabitants of Braja were astonished, which is exactly what he wanted. He wanted their astonishment to see the mighty power of Sri Krishna. Dear King, so this is Shukadev speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Dear King, they, that's the inhabitants of Braja, then completed their worship of Lord Shiva and returned to Braja. Along the way, respectfully describing Krishna's powerful acts. There's no BBT purport, but here's Vishwanath's commentary. The inhabitants of Raja were astonished at all this, and they began to discuss among themselves. Quote, can this boy, whom we fondle with affection, who is not peaceful for a moment without us, be the Supreme Lord? If that is so, then all of us, mothers and fathers, are also great personalities. Blessing to Gargamuni, who from the very first told us that Krishna is just like Narayana. And we have heard this from the mouth of Varuna and the Vidyadhara. So going back, the Varuna pastime chapter 26 and 27. Nanda was kidnapped by the agents of Varuna, and Nanda heard from Varuna, Varuna's glorification of Krishna as the personality of God. He directly heard it, and then he conveyed to the residents of Vrindavan, this is what I heard from Varuna. So they heard it from Nanda, not directly from Varuna. And now they're directly heard from the Vidyadhara, who understands Krishna's position, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these two said, and how else can we understand the great powers that Krishna has? Jiva Goswami writes, they were astonished at the powers of Krishna's swarup. And the term in the verse is Atma Vaibhavam. Because of seeing a mortal, Krishna, give to the snake the form of a Vidyadhara, they were astonished, because they were people of Raja. Though they constantly saw such acts in Krishna, because of their extreme prema, they could not imagine him having such powers. Completing the vows associated with the Shiva temple, they departed. And Sanatana Goswami writes, this is the conclusion, they heard the glories of Krishna's sarup, or the glory of their extraordinary relative Atma Vaibhavam from Sudarshana, or they heard their own glorification. Since they considered themselves as belonging to the Lord, they were all regarded as his relatives. Hearing those glories, they were astonished. Paragraph. They were astonished at what Sudarshana had said because they could not make sense of it. Being confused by intense prema as people of Vraja, Vrajau Kasaha, even though hearing, they were not astonished, Avismita Chetasa, since they had many times experienced his great powers. Then, after Sudarshana left, after completing the vows of staying there for 3 days in the forest, they broke their fast and returned to Vraja. Shukadeva calls to Parikshit in joy, O king! Just as you protect the people, they protected all people on hearing this story. That is, it's spoken in the previous verse, by hearing, the Vidyadhara says, by hearing Krishna's name, everyone becomes benefited and protected. So just hearing and chanting is expanding beyond the four walls because of the sound vibration is transcendental sound vibration. Others are benefiting, even they may not be hearing, what to speak of those that are hearing in whatever their condition. It's all auspicious. Last paragraph. This forest was 70 kroshas north of Mathura on the bank of the Ganga, according to Shukadeva's description. This was southeast of Vraja. According to some, out of bhava, Shukadeva considered himself living in Vraja. Vaibhavam can also mean, quote, not before experienced events, unquote. Respected by Krishna or Nanda, Adrita, they came to Vraja, or with great respect, having increased their bhakti, they came there. That is, they went back to Vrindavan. So that's around half of chapter 34. And now we're ready for the other half of chapter 34, which is the Shankachuda story in the same chapter. So here's the Shankachuda story. And it starts with the chapter summary, or, you know, from the chapter summary of chapter 34, this is that chapter summary portion that describes the Shankachuda event. Later, during the Dola Purnima festival, Sri Krishna and Baladev enjoyed pastimes in the forest with the young women of Vraja, the girlfriends of Baladev, and those of Krishna joined together and sang about their transcendental qualities. When the two lords became absorbed in singing to the point of apparent intoxication, a servant of Kuvera's named Shankachuda boldly came forward and began abducting the gopis. The girls called out, Krishna! That's what they do. Please save us. And he and Rama began chasing after Shankarchuda. "Don't be afraid," Krishna called out to the gopis. In fear of the lords, too, Shankarchuda left the gopis aside and ran for his life. Krishna chased after him swiftly, approached him, and with a blow of his fist, removed Shankarchuda's jewel together with his head. Then Krishna brought the jewel back and presented it to Lord Baladev. So now we're going on to text 20, 10:34:20, those of you who'd like to look up the verse. BBT translation and purport. Once, Lord Govinda and Rama, the performers of wonderful feats, were playing in the forest at night with the young girls of Raja. Purport. This verse introduces a new pastime. According to the Acharyas, the occasion mentioned here is Holika Purnima, a day also known as Gaura Purnima. At least Lord Chaitanya followers call it Gaura Purnima. And I'll give you a sneak preview of something that's coming later in this morning's class. You'll hear, if you listen carefully, you'll hear the word Holika and you'll hear the word Horika. And so which one is it? And you hear what the answer is. It's the same day, just referred to in different manner. Same day. So it's not a mistake or contradiction. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, short, after observing the vows of Shivaratri, on the night of the Purnima full of moonlight, Balaram and Krishna and other friends, standing among the gopis, began to observe Holika pastimes. Jiva Goswami writes, now Shukadev narrates in order another story which he wanted to relate earlier, similar to the previous pastimes, in that it involves giving someone a devata form and saving dear devotees. The story continues till the end of the chapter. The pastime happened after Shivaratri on the full moon day of Phalguna, that's when Lord Chaitanya appeared, called Horika. So the festival is Holika and the day is Horika. Listen, we'll continue. Govinda is the prince of Gokula and Rama is one who enjoys pastimes. At this time, their friendly relationship as equals became manifest since from birth they had played together and a tinge of the Valya sentiments remained. This portion of their friendship is prominent in Braja. In Mathura and Dwaraka, Balaram shows friendship as an elder brother. Thus his name is mentioned after Krishna's to indicate that in this pastime, Balaram played a secondary role and acted as a friend. The Horika festival, so it's Holika pastimes and Horika festival, is held in the middle provinces and is mentioned in Bhavishyotara Purana. A similar pastime was described after the Avavritya bath at the Rajasuya sacrifice. They performed this pastime in a forest near Raja. Both of the boys had uncommon strength. And Sanatana Goswami writes, having showed affection for Nanda, his father, now Krishna shows affection for Vraja. The story continues to the end of the chapter. Sometime after freeing Nanda in the spring, the supreme Rasika as a cowherd, Govinda, and Balaram played. Rama means he who gives happiness to Krishna by having a friendly relation with Krishna, with Krishna's gopis. In Vraja, he is mainly friendly with Krishna, not acting as an elder brother. That is, Mathura and Dwaraka, it's, the role changes. But now it's different. Equals, friends, different rasas. Balaram takes all of them, all five. Krishna brought him there for a special purpose and for special happiness that is made clear later. Paragraph. Because Balaram is secondary, he is mentioned last. This is indicated by the word cha. Krishna and Balaram performed extraordinary acts, adbhuta vikramaha, or the phrase modified only Balaram, since he protected the gopis while Krishna went far away and killed Shankachuda. Not so far. Question, why did the gopis assemble there? Answer, the two were suddenly in the midst of the gopis who had assembled and come to Vrindavan to pick flowers in the spring night, bright with moonlight. Question, why did they stay there? Answer, they were women of Vraja having special prema for Krishna. Vishwanath again writes in some other commentary, after observing the vow of Shivaratri, Krishna, Balaram, and their friends met with the gopis on the night of Holika Purnima, also known as Gora Purnima, to celebrate Holi. According to Sri Vaishnava Toshini, Jiva Goswami writes, in his Karma Samdarbha, this pastime happened on the full moon day of Palgun called Horika. The Horika festival is held in the middle provinces and is mentioned in Bhavishyotara Purana. This was not a fault that they became excited to perform this festival. So I'm going to now make reference to Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 33. It's Balaram, Lord Brahma speaking to Narada. It's one of two sections in the first two cantos where a shortened list of the incarnations of the Lord appeared. Canto 1, Chapter 3, it's like Sutta speaking. Here again, it's Shukadev speaking, something that Brahma said to Narada. And you'll hear it's before the events take place. It's kind of a summary of pastimes. Canto 2, Chapter 7 is that place. And in when it comes to Krishna, not just one verse, it's several verses. Brahma to Narada. When the Lord was engaged in his pastimes of the rasa dance in the forest of Vrindavan, enlivening the desires of the wives of the inhabitants of Vrindavan by sweet and melodious songs, a demon of the name Shankachuda, a rich follower of the treasure of heaven Kuvera, kidnapped the damsels, and the Lord severed his head from his trunk. And the purport reads, listen carefully, we should carefully note that the statements described herein are the statements of Brahmaji to Narada, and he was speaking to Narada of events that would happen in the future during the advent of Lord Krishna. The pastimes of the Lord are known to the experts who are able to see past, present, and future, and Brahmaji, being one of them, foretold what would happen in the future. Now this is Prabhupada's purport. The killing of Shankachuda by the Lord is a more recent incident after the Rasalila and not exactly a simultaneous affair. In the previous verse we have seen also that the Lord's engagement in the affairs of the forest fire were described along with his pastimes of punishing the Kaliya snake, although that would happen that evening, but, and similarly the pastimes of the rasa dance and the killing of Chankachuda are also described herein. The adjustment is that all these incidents would take place in the future after the time when it was being foretold by Brahmaji to Narada. Then the demon Shankachuda was killed by the Lord during his pastime of at Horika, that's the place, Horika, in the month of Palgun, and the same ceremony is still observed in India by the burning of the effigy of Shankachuda one day prior to the pastimes at Horika, generally known as Holi. This is Prabhupada, it helps me at least understand. Our acharyas weren't confused or something, or they disagreed or something. It says the Holika Lila is on the day before Holi in this Horika place where they celebrate the killing of Shankachuda. So, but in honor of the Holi, this is before Shankachuda was killed, they were gathered for that festival, the preparing for the Holi festival the next day on the Purnima. Is Holi on Purnima the day after? It's on Purnima? Okay. Okay. Okay, yeah. So it's the sentence reads again. The demon Shankachuda was killed by the Lord during his pastime at Horika, full moon, in the month of Palgun, and the same ceremony is still observed in India by the burning of the effigy of Shankachuda one day prior to the Lord's pastimes at Horika, generally known as Holi. Okay, so we've begun a new pastime. So, summary of the previous and now introduction to the new one, pastime. Mission accomplished. Krishna wanted, and so it happened. He wanted to show his previous pastime of the Vidyadhara. He wanted to show his opulences. And one of the purposes of showing his opulences to the residents of Braja was the secondary rasa astonishment factor. And sure enough, they were astonished. But their affection, once again, is such that it didn't permit them to accept that Krishna is Narayan. even knowing he'll be like Narayan, or powers like Narayan. So he exhibited his powers, which just confirmed, you know, Gargamuni's a really good astrologer. But they couldn't see Krishna, so it's confirming the special love of the residents of Braja. And we, in the evening, it's Nanda's love for Krishna is like that, and Nanda inspired, being the king, the strength of his love for Krishna helped inspire and strengthen and magnify that same love in all the residents of Braja. Now he had his moments of pondering, which didn't last too long, but as they're also pondering, and you know, similar to the Cowherd boys, they're very privileged. They were with Krishna for like half the day. And nobody else was with Krishna for half a day. They were very privileged. And so it was one of the things that happened when they returned home from taking care of the calves, or then the cows, is the parents of their boys would ask them, what did Krishna do today? And they'll go, wow, Krishna did this and Krishna did that and Krishna did this and Krishna. So they were enjoying talking about Krishna. The parents were enjoyed hearing about Krishna. It's just one Krishna festival all the time. And then their feelings of separation from Krishna, and then rejoining with Krishna and their sons who had been with Krishna, who are then carrying the joy of being with Krishna with the boys. But then the boys were in anxiety or feeling separation from Krishna till the next morning. They couldn't wait. There's a very wonderful painting of Mother Yasoda decorating Krishna. There's all kinds of paraphernalia on the floor. Balaram is watching. The Cowherd boys at the door, hurry up, Mother Yasoda, send Krishna out. It's just the intensity of affection for Krishna is their life. And they don't know anything else. And he moved from one exchange to the next exchange to the next exchange, according to his sweet will. And his sweet will includes increasing their ecstasy, stimulating their love in different ways, according to their nature, because he's omniscient and he knows their nature, and he stimulates according to their nature. And that's Vrindavan. How fortunate are the residents of Vrindavan? Somebody asked yesterday, evening, how did Balaram reach the conclusion that the residents of Vrindavan were so fortunate? Just by going there. Just by, cause he's super intelligent. He's super intelligent. Most intelligent being in the universe. And when he saw, he could understand how fortunate. So fortunate are they that I wish to take birth in any form whatsoever, and by taking birth in Braja, may the dust of the feet of the residents of Braja land upon me. And that way I can be blessed and transformed by the dust of their feet. And that's Brahma, the most intelligent person and the primary exalted person in the whole universe, thinking like that about the residents of Braja. So hearing it again and again, you know, we should get it. It's like they're very special in relation to Krishna. Who is more special? There is no one more special. Where when Brahma finishes his exalted prayers, highly elevated in knowledge because he's the most intelligent person, Krishna remains silent. Same with Avidyadhara. Krishna remains silent. Mission accomplished. And his enthusiasm was not just to hang out with Avidyadhara or hang out with Brahma and get his glories described by either of them. His eagerness was to be again with his cowherd boyfriends and the Brijbasis because of their intense love. That's Krishna. He doesn't make himself inaccessible. He makes himself accessible. But his love, his affinity, it's for the residents of Vrindavan. Even when he's in Mathura, even when he's in Dwarka, his love for the residents of Vrindavan is intense. It doesn't fade over time. It's because time destroys things. It's the nature of time. Time destroys things. We know that from Bhagavad Gita. We know that from our experience. Time destroys things. It destroys memories. It destroys everything. It destroys everything. But for Krishna, there's no time. So his affection doesn't become diminished. It's a big mystery. There's many mysteries. Many mysteries. So we're going to hear some more about Shankarachuda and what's this pastime all about anyways? Proud. Because of his wealth. It happens. People become proud because of their wealth. And his beauty and his jewel and his decorations. And so like Satrajit, proud, just ignored Krishna. When he came into Dwarka, he just ignored Krishna. When he had a big sacrifice to install the Shamataka jewel, he ignored inviting Krishna. Pride, it's a product of the bodily conception of life. I and mine is then pride. And pride covers. Not good. Shankarachuda was proud. He's used to enjoying young maidens. So he just ignored Krishna and Balaram. What a bad person. Started hustling them off right in front of Krishna Balaram. Bad man. Pride. Okay, so we'll hear some more as we go along with this chapter. Any discussion? You have something?
Krishna Guru Maharaj. So Krishna had this eternal love for Vrajavasis always.
Yes.
So is it the same, like Vrajavasis, do they come in every Leela, like whenever a Lord comes on the earth, do they come always on earth like that? Like,
they come when he goes to Vrindavan, which is once in a day of Brahma. They descend with him. When he comes, he's not alone. His abode, his entourage, his paraphernalia, the whole shebang, it comes with him. So when he appears in Vrindavan, they're with him. And when he finishes his Vrindavan pastimes, he takes them back to Krishna Loka. And they enter into their unmanifest eternal pastimes in this earthly Gokul. There's uppercut pastimes that are, when we go to Vrindavan, we're not going to see. But qualified persons can see there's uppercut pastimes eternally going on in the eternal abode. You with me? Okay. So both. Krishna Loka and Gokula.
And another question is, as we grew up in India about Holi, I always heard that Prahlad, when he the pastime related to that by celebrating Holi. So,
how do the two connect?
Yeah, have you like
never heard that?
I didn't read any.
I didn't grow up in India, and it probably depends on what part of India you grow up in, what story you hear.
Okay.
But it's not to say it's a bogus story. I don't know. I can research and find out, or try to find out.
My question is like, we never read, but did like have you ever?
Never. Gujarat?
Yeah.
Yeah. So ask your Gujarati friends, and you save me the trouble of researching. Is there some scriptural reference for the people that live in Gujarat, when they say this, where's the scripture reference for this? You ask. I have some, you know, sannyasi, scholarly friends from Gujarat. I'll write to Vedavyasa Priya Maharaj and see if he has the answer to that. But you can ask some friends too. You know, scholarly ones, not just this is what we learned when we grew up. I don't know where it came from. Not that answer. But the scriptural foundation for what you heard when you were growing up. All right?
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Online.
This is Satyavrata Prabhu. Every holy dham is glorified and there is some specialty in each holy dham.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay to compare or just appreciate?
Well, not either or. We understand, this is, Gaudiya Vaishnavas understand that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. That means, you know, from 1:3:28, Krishna is the source of all avatars. Or say it the other way around, all avatars are within Krishna. When Krishna appears, all avatars are within him. All avatars, like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, all avatars, he's avatari. So sometimes he exhibited this and that and the other thing. But he's the avatari. So just as the form of Krishna is everything is within him, the abode of Krishna, everything is within him. So that means all the abodes are within Krishna's abode. The spiritual significance, the gravity, the mood, everything. So there is a superlative description, but it doesn't minimize the absolute nature of any of the other special abodes, and there's special this and special that, special the other thing, in the special abodes of the Lord. And Krishna's place of pastimes, Goloka or Gokula, within them, everything is there. So comparative and superlative.
This is the Visalaksha Prabhu. Vrajavasis are such pure and humble devotees of Lord Sri Krishna in all circumstances. What steps shall I take to aspire for the steady state of pure devotional service?
Rupa Goswami gives the answer in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. First, become qualified to even hanker like that. You know, in it, there's the hankering like that that's imitative, and there's the hankering like that that's not. It's coming from a pure heart. So the first business is follow sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, effectively over a sustained period of time. Meticulously over a sustained period of time with submission and, you know, very strong hearing and chanting activities and worshiping activities and so forth. And as that cleansing goes to a more mature stage, then the raganuga sadhana bhakti becomes a natural byproduct, not to imitate that prematurely. That's another mistake. So that's how. Follow Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you'll get there.
This is Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. When some less informed people criticize Krishna for his pastimes with gopis, besides direct response...
Besides which kind?
Direct response.
Oh, okay.
Can an indirect response be, he loves gopas, Yashoda, Nanda, Arjuna, etc. no less. He even drove chariot of Arjuna.
Sure. You know, what's going to pacify the hearts of the critics? Who can say? But, you know, you make an absolute statement like that, and that's also correct. That's it.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. One point I was just thinking, maybe comment. When you are explaining about the Shankarshuddha pastime, so I was thinking power and wealth completely, power and wealth completely blinds a person from the reality. So, I mean, it's very, I mean, you explained at the end. So, I was just thinking how dangerous those things.
Yes. There are devotees that had enormous fame and wealth, opulences, and they were not affected. Ambarish is a classic example. Yudhisthira is a classic example. Later, or in a different mood, Sudama Brahman became also extreme, but he was very, 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 very cautious about having opulence. He was happy not having opulence, and he was concerned about having opulence. Both. It wasn't some kind of dry renunciation. He was actually very happy. But when he received everything, he didn't become affected. Or Prahlad didn't become affected. Dhruva didn't become affected. Tendency is to become affected unless one is pure. So you're playing with fire. You use fire, but be very cautious because it burns.
Question, Maharaj?
Yeah.
I mean, while I practice, the sadhana bhakti, while sadhana bhakti, I feel that I was just thinking about last, few days. I mean, I don't have any kind of attraction to Krishna. I do all the activities, the devotional activities, but I maybe not with the right consciousness. So I feel that I don't have that attraction or urgency. So I was meditating on those last few days. I'm doing the activities, but without any urgency or without any attraction, or that's what I think. So something is not right.
Yeah, it's very common. You're not like alone, or in the vast minority. You're not. It's the vast majority. It's the beginning stage. And, you know, the beginning stage may take a while that it goes beyond the beginning stage. And that the fact that you're contemplating, that's good. That means, let me go a step further. Because I'd like to go a step further. Let me, what's a doable step further? Keeping the goal. So that's good. It's the awakening of consciousness to recognize I really don't have this and I'm kind of complacent. And one thing we don't like is we don't like pain. We don't like suffering. But suffering is part of this world. So, wait a while. Some suffering will come. Not to because Krishna's gonna test you or something. It's just the nature of the place. It's gonna come. And then, you know, the impetus will rise because I don't like to suffer. And then the suffering subsides and I can become complacent again. And, you know, how long have we been doing this? How many lifetimes? Not just, you know, since I started chanting and practicing bhakti in this lifetime. How many lifetimes? So, intelligence is required to say, I don't want to keep being complacent. Which is what you're, you know, behind the question is intelligence. So now what can I do? And that's impetus. And it may be intermittent. That's the nature of unsteady bhakti. Just the stage of awakening. You have something? No.
This is from Sri Jiva. Were the gopis suffering results of karma? To have been kidnapped by Shankachuda?
Oh, absolutely. N-O. No. No karma for the gopis. Rather, it's, they're part of Krishna's lila. They're an integral, celebrated part of Krishna's lila. And Krishna's putting them into a situation where they can then go, Krishna, please help us. That's why. It's not karma. It's lila. That's it? Two more.
This is from Chandana Mataji in Nepal. Krishna comes to Vraja once in a day of Brahma. What happens during the other Dwapara Yugas if Krishna does not come?
He comes, but he doesn't go to Vraja. He stays in Mathura and Dwarka and performs Vasudev Krishna pastimes.
So continuation is also, since Nitya Leela continues constantly outside of our ability to see, which mean Krishna and his entourage is always in Gokula, how do we understand?
It's just not manifest. You said it. It's not manifest to worldly vision, but those who have otherworldly vision can experience, and not only experience, they can enter into those pastimes. And those that have ordinary vision cannot. But those that have ordinary vision can see when Krishna performs his manifest pastimes. So there's the Sanskrit terms are prakat, manifest, and aprakat, not manifest. That's how we understand it. Nitya Leela is Nitya Leela. Prakat or aprakat.
This is Hema Suryavanshi Mataji. If somebody speaks bad and wrong things about us, how to process it? I carry anger for that person. How to respect that person?
Well, we discussed this at length during the Dhruva story. When So Ruchi said some nasty things to Dhruva. So I suggest, I've spoken on this multiple times and you were in the audience once hearing. I suggest you go back and hear that recording and or view the video as many times as it as is necessary so you understand how to process when someone says or does something that's mean. How do you process it? And it's very important because we're in the material world and there's duality and sometimes it's nice and sometimes it's mean. So how do you process it? So you get the answer there elaborately. Okay? Srila Prabhupada.